Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I am your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we go more in depth into the ideas in the articles at CatherineColleen.com. You can also get there at KOABD.com. Go to the same place. If you have questions you'd like to send in, you can send them in to questions at KOABD.com. Or you can go to KOABD.com, which is CatherineColleen.com. Go to the community page, and there's a handy-dandy form there now that you can send your questions in there, and you can even tell us if you'd like to join a new Slack channel that we're thinking about, which could be a really cool kind of private place for us to all chat. We can even call each other. I don't know if I want to use that yet, but you can. Slack is a really, really kind of neat app. So it'd be sort of a private place where we can have a reliable, secure community. But in order to get in, you have to use the questions and comments form on the community page at the website, because we're not just letting anybody in. But if you're listening to this, you're somebody who we want to let in. And this could be a community of people who are into trying to understand their own humanity, trying to understand life and being human. And what I'm finding is that there is an awful lot of us out there. If you're joining us from around the world on this podcast, I see you and I thank you. Looking at the stats right now. So many awesome countries tuning in. Of course, the United States. Love you. That's my home country. China, France, Germany, Japan, United Kingdom, Ireland, India, Israel, the Russian Federation, and the list is growing, and I am so excited. So podcast listeners are exponentiating. Readers at the website are exponentiating. So I'm telling you, you're not alone. So thanks for joining us today. Today we're going to be talking about a couple of different things. One is, can you will yourself to will, which is, I believe, the art of motivation, motivating yourself. And then we'll take it from there and we'll talk about doing versus being, which is a really useful method that I completely just stumbled on and for figuring out what to do. So we'll get to that as well. So first of all, motivation. Can you will yourself to will? And the good news is, yes, I believe you can. So Einstein said, and I know I am a huge tech geek, so Einstein is someone that I really revere, but he said, we can will ourselves to act, but we cannot will ourselves to will. I completely disagree. There's some interesting research by Benjamin Libet. Hope I'm pronouncing that right, L-I-B-E-T. And he found in several experiments that electrical impulses in the brain precede someone deciding to act and then acting. So we normally think of it as we decide to act and then we act. Well, there's an electrical impulse in the brain before you decide to act. And I think, and this is just me, but I think that electrical impulse in the brain is the concept of acting. And then you decide to act. Like, you know, I could go work out. Yes, I think I will go work out. And then I go work out. That's my own opinion there. But these experiments have been interpreted as meaning that our sense of free will is an illusion. But in these experiments, the subjects were not given an option to not act. In other words, their free will was taken away. So in this experiment, they had no free will. They had to act. And in this experiment, it was raising a hand at a random interval. So it was, you know, the subject was told to raise their hand at a random time, anytime they wanted. And they did, but they weren't given a choice to not raise their hand. So I think that's kind of skews the results a little bit, but they felt compelled. They chose to act and then they acted. Now it would be interesting to see what would happen if subjects were allowed to not act. You know, if the instructions were raise your hand if you want to at a random time, but don't feel like you have to, then it would be very interesting to see how that would come out. So I believe you can will yourself to act, and I believe you can will yourself to act. I believe you can will yourself to will. I believe you can transform yourself into a strong-willed person, or at least a willed person who defends certain values of your choosing. You know, I believe, and this is because I've experienced it myself and I've known others who've experienced it, that you can will yourself to anything, except maybe to be taller or younger. Definitely can't will yourself to be younger. But you can certainly will yourself to will. The will is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. It just takes practice. So start small, right? With the classic marshmallow test. I love this one. You put a marshmallow or some other treat that you love, that you would want, and you put it on a plate where you can reach it. And you tell yourself that if you do not touch it, then in so many minutes or so many hours, you can have two. And you practice waiting. You practice delayed gratification. And you move up to making yourself wait without a reward. You know, the one treat, the one marshmallow is the reward instead of two. And then you move on to more challenging tests of your will. You know, will yourself to work out on specific days. Will yourself to do a short fast and not eat for a short period of time. Like 18 hours, 24 hours, work your way up. Will yourself to have that difficult conversation that you've been putting off. Whoa, there's a tough one. It was easy when it was marshmallows, right? Now you've got to go have difficult conversations, but you get the idea. The will is a muscle that can be exercised, that can be strengthened, and you can will yourself to be motivated, to be the kind of person who is motivated. So remember, when we talk about motivation, nobody else can motivate you. You have to decide to be motivated. And that right there is willing yourself to will. So a good question for this is, what aspect of your willpower do you need to strengthen? Because for most of us, parts of our willpower are pretty good. And parts of our willpower are horrible. You know, I can resist a slice of cake all day long. Why? Because it'll put me in pain. So I don't want to eat that. So I can say no to that all day. I couldn't even tell you the last time I had a piece of cake. But you put ice cream in front of me, I'm eating it. I have no willpower when it comes to ice cream, especially dark chocolate, anything super fudgy. My word. So there's an aspect of my will that I need to work on. And I'll bet you've got something that you'd like to work on there too. So the point being, I believe you can will yourself to will. I believe you can exercise your will. I believe you can choose to be a motivated person along certain lines. And just find your inner Jocko Willink and make it happen. And when you practice making it happen, you will find that you'll keep making it happen, that being strong-willed is its own reward. It feels really good, so you'll keep doing it. All right. So next I want to talk about doing versus being. And this is a really great way to focus your efforts. So sometimes, I don't know about you, but I find it hard to focus my actions. In other words, I find it hard to figure out what I am supposed to be doing or what I should do first or what are the top five things I should prioritize. And I'll find it hard to do just in my own stuff, you know, and trying to decide. Okay, when your task list gets kind of big, it can be overwhelming. And there are a lot of cool ways out there to figure out how to prioritize. If it's just you and your own stuff, then, you know, Tim Ferriss has a really great technique, and I use this all the time, where you just ask yourself the question, what would this look like if it was easy? Or what's the one task I could do that would make some of the others irrelevant or easier, then that's the first task you want to handle. And I totally believe in that. I love tackling the hard task that makes everything else easier. But there are situations where this gets a lot harder to know what to do. So, for example, what if you have a family member who is having a medical issue, a major medical issue, where they need support, they need help, and you find yourself just kind of flabbergasted as to what to do? Those are not situations that a lot of us get a lot of practice with. And so I stumbled upon this method because I was in this exact situation. And I'm going, oh man, what do we do? What do we do? Well, obviously we get in a car and we go and write and we get in person with them. But then what do we do? Well, then I decided to ask a different question. Instead of what do I do, I decided to ask, what do I need to be? This is a really different question, isn't it? What do I need to be for this person? And once you decide what you need to be for that person, knowing what you need to do becomes a good bit easier. So if you think of a situation right now where you have trouble figuring out what you need to do, especially situations related to other people, and ask yourself instead, what do you need to be right now? So, for example, when my dad found himself in the hospital and then in a long recovery from major surgery, and what I needed to be was a source of peace and hope and perspective, maybe a few laughs. Therefore, what I needed to do was grab my guitar and go there in person and be an open and listening heart and offer perspective when asked for it and bring hope and joy through music, through laughter. And it was very easy to figure out what I needed to do if I just asked myself what I needed to be. And I realized that, holy crap, this really works. This is awesome. This is a really great technique. So what do you need to be for your purpose or for your goals or for your needs? For you, what do you need to be? What do you need to be for those that you love? And therefore, what do you need to do? This is probably one of my favorite questions that I've come across. So I'm going to add this to the great big list of questions that I keep track of. I love questions because they really guide us. We are compelled to answer questions. It's very, very hard for us as humans to hear a question and not answer it. We want to answer it. That's why advertisements ask you questions all the time. Because your head wants to seek an answer, and now you're engaged with the ad. So you can use this trick for yourself. And I would start with you. What do you need to be for you? Given a goal that you have, put one goal in your mind. What do you need to be to accomplish that goal? And then what do you need to do to be that? Good question. All right, so I want to do an audience question today, and this is a really good one. And it's a question. It's a little bit dicey, so I'm gonna disguise the situation to save the individual. A parent wanting to know if their child. What stage their child is in, and suspecting that they are faking the stage that they're in. So this gets down to understanding what stage other people are in. And I have learned through trial and error and getting it wrong and getting it right to see this, right? So some people can act like they're in, let's say, stage six. Stage six is somewhat easy to fake. It's somewhat easy to fool people that you're in stage six. Because on the surface, they will act like, oh, to each their own. You know, I have my ideology, you've got yours, it's all good, whatever, right? And they're very kind of chill about it. So you think, oh, that sounds like stage six. But then you realize eventually that you've been used, that you've been manipulated, that you've been tricked. And at some point, their true selves comes out. And then you go, oh, they were actually in stage three. Stage three is where, which is I am my needs. And if you're not familiar with this, go to the website, look up the cycle of human development. And stage three, which is I am my needs, you're so focused on your needs that you don't really see other people as human, that you see them as a mechanism for the fulfillment of your needs. Even in stage four, you can see some of this. It's less likely, but stages three and stages five. So three and five. I am my needs and I am my ideology and screw everybody else. These are the stages where these persons are much more likely to fake a later stage to manipulate you or use you in some way. This is more common amongst the young. But older individuals will tend to just be more straightforward, nasty to you. So for this parent who's wondering about their child, here's the stuff to look for. They may call you up and they may act nice, or they may be living with you and you may interact with them and they may act nice and chill, and oh, everything just seems fine and great, except for the fact, number one, they're a grown child and they're living with you. Get them out of there. Right there, they're using you. They're manipulating you for your resources. Secondly, take a look at what you talk about. When you have a conversation with this person, what do you talk about? Is it all about them? Well, there you go. Is it all about how they're really offended at some political thing? Stage five. If it's all about them and what they've been doing and they're just pumping you for validation, or they're pumping you for money, do they want something from you? Do they never ask you about you? Do they never ask what's going on in your world? If they never ask you what's going on in your world, I guarantee you they are not past stage five. They're somewhere between either three or five. And so it just look for the subtle stuff like that. And as parents, we don't want to see our perfect little angels as manipulating us or using us. And they don't mean it in a mean way. They just don't see you as human yet. They don't see you as an individual. They see you as some kind of mechanism dropped here out of nowhere to provide for their needs all the time. And so they're going to use you for that. But that's how you know it. In your gut, you know, if you're willing to admit it to yourself, when you're in their presence, when you're on the phone with them, deep down inside, you know where they're at. You just have to be willing to admit the truth to yourself. And the percentage of people in their teens and 20s who have made it to stage six and beyond is shockingly small. So don't fool yourself. And be aware that though they may act like they're spending most of their time in a later stage, this again is a manipulative method to get what they want out of you. Acting more sage than they really are is a manipulative method. Okay, so now the really hard question. So once you decide to face the truth of the fact that your child is manipulating you, what then? Stop. Stop allowing it. Put up some boundaries. Read the book Boundaries. Fantastic book. You don't have to be nasty about it. But one way to find out if you're being manipulated and used is to stop giving them money. If you stop giving them money and you stop giving them a free place to live, you're going to find out real fast where they're at, because people who are in stage three to stage five and are manipulating you because they want something from you, so they're acting like they're in a later stage, it's usually money. And if you remove that and it's not money anymore, they can't get money from you, they will show you their true selves. And you may not like it. You may not want to see it, but you will. So that is a heavy question. But here is the bright side. Remember that we are all evolving around this cycle, that we take our turns around the cycle many, many times. That you two will be back in stage three, four, five at some point. Something will trigger it. We all do. And that's okay if you can recognize that in yourself. But also remember that because we all evolve, your child will evolve too. They're not always going to be doing what they're doing now. They're not always going to be manipulating you. At some point, they will evolve to see you as human. Don't think that's going to happen quickly. It usually takes a crisis or two in their lives to make that happen. But it will happen. So go back and take a look at the article on how to, when and how to walk away from family and how to reconnect. Put a little distance there. Don't make it dramatic. Just quietly, slowly, put a little distance there. And await their eventual evolution, because it will happen. All right, that's a heavy question. So there's hope in all of our evolution. As I record this, it is the World Day of Peace, which I find to be a phenomenal idea. So as we do this, let's remember that we can't make others be peaceful, but we can help others be at peace with themselves if they want to be. And that's exactly what we're trying to do here. All right, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.